Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Buddy Android's E2G Sports Show, coming to you live from New Bedford, Massachusetts here on Thursday, October 1st. Hey, everybody, we've survived 2020 till October 1st. Only 3 months more to go and get this out of the way. So we're October 1st, and that means Thursday night football, too. And my guest is already calling in. I got Brendan Carpenter from Empire Sports Media joining me. We're going to start with the Jets tonight in tonight's Jets-Broncos matchup.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, that's great, Brendan. How's things going?
Things are going pretty well. How are things at your end? I know I'm looking forward to the game tonight.
Yes, well, definitely looking forward to tonight's game. First question I'm going to ask you right out of the chute. If there's a loss tonight, is this Adam Gase's last game as a Jets coach?
Well, actually, I don't know if you saw Ian Rappaport, just of NFL Network, just came out earlier today and said that according to the Jets, if they lose tonight, it will not be his last job, his last game. They think that firing him will actually hurt Darnold's continuing development. I mean, if that wasn't the case, if the rumors were still that he was going to get fired, I think that he should be, because this team has made no progress. I mean, they're ranked last in total offense and scoring. And, I mean, they just have not looked good. But, I mean, apparently he's safe now, so we'll see. They had that, you know, quick turnaround at the end of last season, so hoping for that again, but it's all up in the air now. I mean, he still could be fired. We don't know.
All right. Well, that's definitely one side of it, possibly being stay of execution, as we'll call it. Mekhi Becton, I read your awesome article yesterday on Crowder and Becton. Look both to be back. What have you seen out of Becton as the 11th overall pick as a left tackle?
I've loved what I've seen out of Becton. I thank you for reading the article. And as you saw, he actually, through the first 2 weeks, was ranked as the highest rated offensive rookie this season, which is great for someone who the Jets really needed to come in and make a big impact right away, guarding Darnold blindside. And, I mean, as you know, and I'm sure as many people know, their offensive line has been horrific the past couple seasons. So, love what I've seen so far. And hopefully, you know, hopefully he stays on track to play tonight, because he'll definitely need it with Bradley Chubb coming off that side of the line.
Yeah, I'm also looking at Jamison Crowder personally, and I guess Adam Gase, too, from your article, thinks he's the best receiver on the team. What is it that Crowder brings that's a comfort level for Darnold?
Well, I think especially now, because their wide receivers are all banged up and they've had some new guys come in, I think Crowder offers the most familiarity with Darnold, because he was there last season. And also, I think just the routes that they have Crowder running, he doesn't necessarily run the deep routes. He runs the quick side-to-side routes, and he's often, you know, even a last resort guy who Darnold can dump it off to if nothing else is open. So I think that's what he brings, kind of a security blanket for Darnold, where he doesn't have to force the ball downfield.
All right, so as I look at the Jets right now, you mentioned the 32nd ranked offense. The Broncos aren't so much better. They're in the 29s and 30s for ranked for everything. Right across the board, third down points, rushing yards, passing yards, total yards. But I look at the Jets' defense against that offense tonight. 17th in total yards with 372, but rushing yards, 133. What do you think the plan is tonight to stop Melvin Gordon if that's the route the Broncos decide to go with Brett Rypien starting his first game at quarterback?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to stack the box. I think they're going to have to send a lot of pressure. Like you said, it's his first start at quarterback for the Broncos, so they're going to have to, you know, bring pressure so the ball gets out of his hands quicker, or he has to just give it to Melvin Gordon. And the Jets in the past couple seasons have been pretty solid against the run. It's, you know, gone down a little bit this season, but they have to bring pressure. They have to stack the line, because if they don't stack the line and he gets through, I mean, they have such difficulty tackling that if he gets, you know, to the linebackers and a little bit past that, he's going to be running all over them all night. So, I mean, they need to stack the box, and they have to send at least, I think, five guys really every play.
All right. Now, on the flip side, how has the transition gone from Jamal Adams? I've seen a bit of week one, but really haven't seen much of the Jets. So tonight's really going to be my familiarity with the team outside of just what I've seen in highlights and what I've heard in the media. How has replacing Jamal Adams gone, and what are the roles that some of these players are taking on?
Right. Well, I think the biggest change has been with Marcus May, because he has been there starting free strong safety now with Jamal Adams gone, and he's been picking up right where he's left off. You know, he's blitzing, he's playing a lot more coverage, and he's playing really close to the line and deciding what he does based off of that, because, you know, Jamal Adams is a guy who doesn't just play safety. He also plays defensive end. He plays linebacker. He plays cornerback, and they've asked Marcus May to do that, who has played free safety in the past, and he had to make that change. And I think he's played well, personally. I think that he's looked pretty solid in what he's had to do, he's had to take on. But Bradley McDougal, the guy that they traded for with Jamal Adams, he hasn't looked great. He was great in coverage last season. He hasn't necessarily played right up to that so far. So he's going to have to step up. But, I mean, I think the biggest change has been Marcus May, and he's really stepped up for a team that needs it, because their secondary has not been good.
All right, now I'm going to jump to the offensive backfield. Le'Veon Bell on IR. I believe he can return up to next week and then gets a 21 days to come off the IR. How's the Frank Gore going? I know this guy seems timeless, but when do we see a guy like LaMichael Perine get his opportunity and maybe look to the future?
That's why I think it's two parts here, because with Le'Veon Bell being out, obviously you lose the guy who's been an all-pro running back in his past and who can offer so much both in the running game and the passing game. But with him out, their rushing attack has actually looked much better and much more consistent, because Frank Gore is a guy who, as you said, he seems ageless, he seems timeless, and he just never seems to be tackled behind the line. So I think to that degree, it's helped their offense move forward. And that's also given more chances for LaMichael Perine, who, you know, they drafted out of Florida and who, as you said, is the running back for the future. And he's looked okay. He's only had 10 rushing attempts so far this season for 41 yards. So he's averaging 4.1 yards a carry, which isn't bad. And, you know, I think Le'Veon being out is actually helping him. And honestly, I think it is helping the offense to some degree, because, I mean, since he's gotten to the Jets, it hasn't been anywhere near what anyone would have hoped. And, I mean, Frank Gore, him, and even Kalen Ballage now are offering, I think, much more consistency at the running back position.
All right, just looking at the tight end situation, why doesn't Chris Herndon get more of a look? There's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, that's a tough one to dissect, because he is very talented. He showed as a rookie that he is a true threat in the passing game. And, you know, he's had his problems. He's been off the field. But like you said, he only has 10 receptions. 10 receptions for 63 yards. I mean, it's hard, because I want to see him play well. I want him to get more receptions, because he is so talented. But the Jets just seem to not ever use their tight ends the way they should. I mean, Ryan Griffin has no receptions this season. And last season, you know, he earned the contract extension because he played well with Herndon out, and now it just seems that they're not using them. I don't know if that's in the game plan or if it's just they're not, you know, getting open in the design play calls. I really don't know, but I really want Chris Herndon to start getting more involved, because he is – an extremely talented guy who's still very young. I mean, he was drafted in 2018. He's very young. He's 24. And, I mean, if they start to use him and design more plays, he can even, you know, not down the field, because he can't push the field, but even if he just gets a short pass and he can do some stuff after the catch, they desperately need it, because, I mean, he can really help their last-ranked offense.
So doing my draft research, I came in with two guys who I was very high on that the Jets ended up drafting. And I just want to see where these guys are right now as far as playing, being ready to play, getting playing time, and eventually being starters. And that's Denzel Mims and Cameron Clark. I love me some Cameron Clark. That guy's a body mover. What can you tell me about these two players?
Right. Well, Cameron Clark is actually on IR right now. So he's not even able to play. But I really like that pick, too, because, you know, I mean, he's listed as a left tackle, but they could move him around the line. So he could help wherever he's needed once he's able to play. And Denzel Mims is a guy who I absolutely loved at Baylor. You know, he's a do-it-all receiver. He's not the biggest guy, but he can burn you downfield. He can win the contested catch. He can do stuff after the catch. But, I mean, he is actually on IR as well. He should be able to return relatively soon if he stays on track. And I think that him being out has more of an impact on Cameron Clark because right now, I don't know if Cameron Clark – he definitely wouldn't start over Mekhi Becton. I mean, maybe Alex Lewis at left guard, but that's just a maybe. I don't see him starting on the right side whatsoever. But, I mean, Denzel Mims being out definitely hurts because, you know, their third receiver right now on the depth chart is Braxton Berrios because they have Crowder and Hogan both expected to play tonight. Well, Hogan's a maybe, but Breshad Perriman's out. So with him being out, they're really thin at wide receiver, and Denzel Mims is a guy who, you know, they said even in the offseason, he already had a nice connection with Darnold, and they were really, you know, vibing off each other and playing well. And, I mean, him not being there is a really, really drastic hit to this offense because wide receiver is their thinnest position.
So if I'm going in order of who's returning first, is it Mims or Clark coming off IR first?
I would say Mims. I haven't heard any positive updates about Cameron Clark, so I couldn't tell you when he's expected back. But I think Denzel Mims, if all goes well, could be back within the next couple of weeks. He'll probably miss at least two or three more games, but he's definitely on track to return before Cameron Clark is.
All right, because I can't get over my Cameron Clark love and being a Patriots fan at heart, having to love a Jets player is pretty tough. But I just encourage people, anybody who wants to watch Cameron Clark film, watch the game he had against Clemson last year. And he was out there throwing the national champions around. I mean, that's how good of a body mover he is. And what do they feel his position is? I personally think he's a left guard. I think he can be an all-pro left guard. I know you've mentioned some of the position, but is there something they're saying, hey, when he comes back, we're gonna place him here?
I haven't heard a definitive answer, but I'm guessing that, you know, it's going along right with what you said, that it would be left guard. I think Mekhi Becton is their sure left goal. That's not going to change. You know, they have Connor McGovern at center and John Andrews. They have Greg Van Roten at right guard. I mean, I don't know if they would want to move Cameron Clark to the right side of the line at right tackle, but I also don't see him starting at this moment over George Fant. So I agree with you. I think it would end up being a left guard to stick him on that side of the line because that's what he's comfortable with. But no, I have not heard a definitive answer on where they would want to place him once he returns.
So I'm looking at this matchup tonight. You talked about Shelby Harris and Bradley Chubb being on the side that Mekhi Becton is going to be matching on. I'm looking at the other side, Atachu against the right tackle. Are they going to try to run more left tonight, the Jets, and try to stay away from Atachu, who is a pretty good run defender, and they've just lost Jarrell Casey too. So are they going to try to run to the vacated side of Jarrell Casey, or are they going to be running left?
I think it all depends on if Mekhi Becton actually plays. I think if Mekhi Becton is active and he does start, I think they're going to run left because I feel like that's just watching the Jets. I feel like they tend to move to the left side. But I feel like if Mekhi Becton doesn't play and Chuma Adoga is starting at left tackle. I think they're going to go right because, like you said, with the holes there. But I really think it all depends on Mekhi Becton. He's on track to play. So I'm gonna say if you're watching the game tonight, watch for the Jets to run left. That's my hunch.
All right, 20th and third down percentage on defense. Little less than middle of the pack. What has to change to bring this number up and get opponents off the field?
I think it starts with the cornerbacks because the cornerbacks have been able to – it seems like they've been unable to cover anybody. It seems like every time they can get off the field, you know, whether it's a third and five, third and four, you know, third and seven, whatever, if they're passing the ball, Jets cornerbacks always seem to be 2 or 3 yards away from the nearest receiver, which just isn't going to cut it. They're having a lot of trouble pressing their guys and playing man coverage and preventing the ball from getting to them. And I don't know if, you know, they're going to have to play more zone on the outside, but I mean, it starts with the cornerbacks because they're getting okay pressure. Their pressure is not great, but they're causing a little bit of disruption. And I mean, you got to look at their cornerbacks. They've been able to cover nobody. And it seems like every third down, there's someone on the opposing team catching a quick 5-yard out route to get the first down and move the chains. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. So tonight it's going to be mostly, well, you'll see Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, who was obviously a top 15 pick, and they've been running KJ Hamler a lot. KJ Hamler is kind of a deep threat. I call him a gadget guy, too. He's a guy you're trying to get the hand on the ball, jet sweeps, reverses, any way you can, quick screens. Is this a guy who can be a game breaker this week? This could be KJ Hamler's breakout game because of what you said about the corners and the secondary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think KJ Hamler, you know, if the Jets play the way they have been, I think KJ Hamler's in line for a huge night tonight. Because, like you said, he can do everything. He's a burner guy. He can do the end-around sweeps. And the Jets don't have, you know, anyone at cornerback that can really guard him one-on-one, per se. And they don't have anyone, especially with Mosley being out at the linebacker position, who can really move side to side with ease and stop that end-around sweep from, you know, gaining yardage. So I do think KJ Hamler's in line for a pretty good night tonight.
All right, what's the story with my guy, Blake Cashman? I loved him coming out of Minnesota. Again, the Jets draft a player I love. It's tough, but I'm an honest guy. What does the future look like for him as far as an inside backer, or is he more of a sub-package backer?
I think he's going to end up being more of a sub-package backer just because it all depends on what happens with Avery Williamson because – you know, when C.J. Mosley comes back, he's a lock for the middle linebacker position. And then they also have Avery Williamson, their number two guy, who's coming off of the torn ACL. And if they end up keeping him, mm-hmm. you know, their number one and two are really locked. And Blake Cashman's going to be in the outside looking in, especially when Patrick Onwosar comes back too, who's on IR. But I think he's going to be a sub-package guy. I think he's a player. He can get the job done. But I don't see him ever having really that opportunity with the Jets to be a starting inside linebacker. I see him more of a sub-package guy. But, you know, it could change. It could be like with DeMario Davis, where he's a solid player for the Jets, and he leaves and goes to the Saints, and he's, you know, arguably one of the more consistent linebackers in the NFL. So that could be in Blake Cashman's future as well, because he is a good player. But I just think, unfortunately, he's not going to have all the opportunity he needs with the Jets.
Now, another question for you. Your first-round pick last year, Quinnen Williams, absolute stud, game wrecker. How has he progressed from year one to year two, even without a normal offseason? How's his play looking right now?
Right. Well, I think he has looked much better already. And, you know, he's very young. He's 22. I mean, when he was drafted, he still had his braces on. I mean, he's a really young guy. And I mean, last season as a rookie, he had 2.5 sacks. This year he has 2 sacks already. I mean, that's a major, major jump to begin the season, 2 sacks through 3 games. And I mean, if he keeps that up, he's going to be inching towards 10. He's probably not going to get there if you ask me, but he's a guy who they need to have pressure coming from him in the middle of the line because they don't have guys on the outside who can consistently do it. So I think Quinnen Williams is a stud. I mean, if he can continue to work on his jump off the line and his pass rushing ability, then it'll be everything that just, you know, thought they were really getting in, I think, in Leonard Williams, who was a guy who they had high hopes for, but he never panned out to be that star that they really wanted.
So I look at him for tonight. If he's lined up against the tackle and it's out there against holding number 72, Garrett Bowles, do you think this could be the night the country gets to know who Quinnen Williams is? Not just the Alabama stud, but, you know, a guy who can tear it up in the NFL and take care of somebody on the opposite side of the line who, let's be honest, has inferior talent.
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, it'll depend on how many people are actually watching this game because I don't think, you know, it's going to be that exciting to watch. But, I mean, Quinnen Williams definitely has the opportunity to really, really burst onto the scene for the first time tonight. I mean, like you said, he's going against a guy who hasn't looked great. And, you know, and they're going against, like you said, also by Ruffin, who was going in his first career start. He had his first game action last week. So he's still, you know, very fresh when it comes to understanding the pass rush and when to get rid of the ball and how to move in the pocket effectively. So I think Quinnen Williams is definitely in line for, you know, a bigger night than we're used to from him. And I think that he has to for the Jets to win tonight.
All right, my last question for you. Do you know anybody who's definitely an inactive for tonight? I didn't catch yesterday's injury report. So is there anybody who's definitely out tonight?
Right. Rashad Perriman is out. He won't be playing tonight. You know, the same guys that's been out, Le'Veon Bell, Rashad Perriman. I think Chris Hogan is still a maybe right now. Jeff Smith is still on IR. It's mostly affecting the offense. It's mostly the big guys are still Le'Veon being out, which everyone knows, and Rashad Perriman. I think those are the two guys that are only listed as definitely out. Everyone else is questionable. So that's going to be more of a game time decision for those guys. But look for at least half
right.
of them to not play.
Excellent. Brendan Carpenter, Empire Sports Media, you've been great. Thank you very much, sir, for joining us here on the Buddy Andre E2G Sports Show. Let's do this again.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, you have a great night and good luck tonight. And will you be at the stadium tonight covering, or are you writing from home?
I will not. I'm actually at college right now, so I'll be doing it from there.
All right, sounds good. We're looking forward to your next stuff, and I'll continue to share your great material. Have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you. You too.
So that was Brendan Carpenter, Empire Sports Media, still at UConn. Knowledgeable Jets guy, got to meet him over the course of time, put him in our fantasy magazine as one of the up-and-coming writers to pay attention to. So good stuff there from Brendan Carpenter. If anybody wants to get a call in before Dave Hurlbut, 516-387-1702. That's 516-387-1702. Anything on tonight's game or the weekend coming up, because we got a we got some games going on. Just want to say that it looks like what's going to happen with the Titans and Steelers is they're going to play week 7. This is going to be their bye week. They're going to play week 7. And what they're going to move is the Ravens game from week 7 to week 8. And the Steelers and Ravens will play week 8. So that's the change. Also a possibility if those two teams are good. I haven't checked that far in advance of the schedule. I'm going to do that as I talk to you. So what they call this in radio time is Phil. I'm just going to talk about stuff that means nothing. No, just kidding. I'm not going to do that to you. Let me just get to the NFL schedule and figure this out, because this is what I was told and saw from a good source, was the week 7 flip. So week 7, Baltimore-Pittsburgh would become Pittsburgh at Tennessee. And that was scheduled for 1 o'clock game, so they can keep that as a 1 o'clock game. Week 8, Baltimore was supposed to be on a bye. They moved their bye to week 7. They play week 8 against Pittsburgh. And the night game that week is the Cowboys and the Eagles. That could get flexed out. So what they could do as a reward to the Ravens is maybe flex that game in or put it as a 425 game, because the 425 games are the Saints and the Bears and the 49ers and the Seahawks. So I think the Ravens are already on their maximum amount of national games. So what I'm probably looking at is 425 week 8, Ravens-Pittsburgh being the national game, and week 7, Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Yeah, I don't think they're going to flex out Las Vegas and the Buccaneers. They're both 2-1. So that's the Sunday night game, and it's Tom Brady too. So I don't see that happening. So that could become a 425 game, as the Chiefs-Broncos is the only 425 game on there. So just looking ahead to the schedule, we could see where these teams are. The Titans get a chance to get healthy, which is very important. We get this behind us, and we found a way to finagle the schedule so it works out for everybody. It's probably not going to be the last time. There was one more positive test. As you know, their long snapper and Daquan Jones are two of the players who are out COVID. Now they have defensive coaches. Good chance for a week for everybody to, you know, sit down, get better, do some virtual learning. I'm sure Vrabel can do that. Teach over Zoom. And then what we're going to see is week 5 games. It's good that we haven't seen the Vikings, any tests come back. So that's a really positive sign, because I was looking for the guys who are blocking Daquan Jones the other day and just trying to get a feel of who would have been sick. But we get to week 5, and the Titans are playing the Bills at home. That's another big game, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Bills could roll into that game 4-0. So the Titans don't have to travel. This is kind of a thing they can handle at home. That's a pretty good deal. And the Vikings play this week. And Pittsburgh next week. Does that give you radio silence? Is home to the Eagles. So they can kind of sit back, start getting ready for the Eagles, and get ready for that interstate rivalry next week. We're waiting on David Hurlbut. Mile High Sports Radio. The Hurlbut Huddle. I'm usually a guest of his on Wednesday from 10:30 to either 10:45 or 11 o'clock. So we'll talk Denver Broncos with him. We'll break down the other side of this matchup and also talk the league and shoot the breeze. Dave knows golf. Dave knows tennis. David knows a lot about sports. He's just a great guy and become a great friend. So I'm excited to have him flip the roles here, have him on my show on the Buddy Android E2G Sports Show. This should be a lot of fun. So I'm just waiting for David to call in, and I believe he has. It's either going to be David or a guest, so we'll find out. David or a call-in. Hello, caller.
It's David. You're stuck with me, brother.
Ah, I love it. How the roles have been flipped. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Look, you and I are blessed to talk sports. Doing just great.
This is awesome. So the roles will change. I'll ask the questions. You know, I'm looking tonight. Quinnen Williams hasn't really emerged. If he lines up against Garrett Bowles tonight, what are you expecting out of that type of a matchup for the Broncos and the way this tackle position is depleted?
Holding number 72 offense, 10-yard penalty, replay second down. Look,
wow.
People are saying he's playing better. People are saying Bowles is playing better this year. I don't know, man. They roll away from him a lot. Is he playing better? Sure, but where did he have to go? Nowhere to go but up. So I think eventually, you know, the clock will strike 12 here with Bowles.
So Brett Rippon starting his first game tonight. Should have been a day 3 pick last year, 2019 draft. has been in the system a while. Blake Bortles isn't up to snuff. Drew Lock out injured. Jeff Driscoll finding the pine. What are we looking for out of Brett Rypien tonight? Are we looking? Is this an audition for him? Is this an audition for the rest of the league? Is this an audition for the Denver starting shot? What is the Brett Rypien role right now?
D, all of the above, which is what I always checked in high school when I wasn't sure. D, all of the above. Look, I don't think
Brett
Rypien
right
is the savior. I don't think he's the savior for the Denver Broncos. Go out there tonight. He's very smart. He's bright. Look, when you have a Super Bowl winning quarterback as your uncle and Mark Rypien, you learn from him. You talk to him. Or you chat with him. He played very well at Boise State. He was a winner at Boise State. They've turned out some very nice players. I'm not saying it's Alabama or anything. But this guy knows how to play football. He looked very sharp up until his interception last week. But, he was just thrown in the game. And I think he's a quality player. I think he could have a 10-year, 12-year NFL career bouncing around from a few teams. They're not asking him to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns tonight. Just go out there, learn, be smart, be sharp, and try not to lose the game.
So I look at this offense, all the rankings, just to go through it quickly. Total yards, 29th. Passing, 28th. Rushing, 29th. I'm going to come back to that. That's where my hit is going to go out of this.
Don't get me started.
Points a game. And 34.2% on third downs. And after I watch Patrick Mahomes go 10 of 13, I will not let go of that 10 of 13 stat. What can Melvin Gordon do tonight, as that's where the weakness is? The Jets are 24th against rushing, 133 yards a game. Is this the game where they feed Melvin Gordon and try to get him going and really try to bring along Brett Rypien tonight?
Buddy, I have been screaming about this all week. If Melvin Gordon doesn't get 22, 23, 25 touches tonight, then why did you bring the guy in, and why are you paying him $8 million?
Yep.
Last week, with questionable quarterback play for the Broncos, they rush it 14 times. 14. And I don't want to hear people telling me that they were trying to catch up to Tampa Bay and they were trying to chase the score. They could have still run it when it was 7-0. They could have run it when it was 10-0. You can still run it early in the third quarter. They weren't blown out 27-3 in the first half. So you bring in Melvin Gordon and you rush him only 8 times last week. Only 8 rushes for Melvin Gordon last week, 14 for the team. If he doesn't run the ball 22, 25 times tonight, like a Walter Payton, like the guys you and I know and love, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, like Zeke Elliott now, then
the bell cows.
The bell cows. They don't do this much anymore. You and I know. You and I grew up with that. We're aging ourselves. I still believe you win the game by running the football in the trenches. Sure, you can throw the football too, but you have to run the ball, give your defense some time to rest, and take some pressure off your first Brett Rypien starting his first NFL game.
So now I'm looking the pass defense. Our previous Brendan Carpenter was just on. He covers the Jets for Empire Sports Media. And he said his side of things is he really fears what Judy Hamler and Tim Patrick can do tonight, because they cannot get off the field on third down. Is this a coming out party maybe for AJ Hamler? We saw Jerry Judy a couple of weeks ago, even with those two drops. What do you think his role is for tonight?
Yeah, I think we'll get a few shots. They'll go to him a few times. He and Judy and Patrick is an underrated player. I would love to see the run set up a little play action. Please don't come out throwing 8 out of the first 10 times. So coming out party, I don't know. I think coming out party would be more for, when Drew Lock is there, he's a better quarterback. They should be used, but they should run the ball 55% of the game tonight, for crying out loud. Philip Lindsay's questionable. He was upgraded, so you might see him tonight. Control the clock, get an ugly win, and get out of there. So I think they'll be involved in the game plan, buddy. I don't know if you're going to see, KJ Hamler 8 catches for 120 yards.
Now I'm looking the opposite side of the ball. A lot of injuries. You lose Jarrell Casey. Still a formidable front against the run.
Yeah.
Frank Gore is kind of that guy who just hits the hole and is timeless. It's unbelievable how this guy's still in the league. And I truly predict he's going to pull a Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr., where he plays with his son when he comes out of the draft. Is this the type of running back who can give them fits, a guy who's going to just hit the hole and not dance behind the lines now that Jarrell Casey is out?
Frank Gore is a phenomenal, wonderful player. I think the guy, I think he's like quietly, buddy, you tell me, like fourth or fifth all-time rushing?
He's
easily
top
10. No, it's an incredible story. They should run the ball as well, set up their play action. I don't know if you heard, but Atachu's out tonight too. Something with a quad. He probably injured himself sneezing or something. So Atachu's out. The Denver defense, the Denver team is just, it's a walking mass unit. They should pound Frank Gore as well. Is Le'Veon Bell, is he out for the year? What's going on with Bell?
He should be back in a few weeks. He was put on IR because it was a three-week IR, a hamstring issue. He's the type of guy we could see back in a few weeks. Or if they like what they have, they got Gore and they got this young kid, LaMichael Perine, they drafted out of Florida in the fourth round.
Yep.
So that's where that's it. So what are we going to see? Malik Reed and that rookie, Derek Tuska, who I'm very high on out of North Dakota State?
Yeah, you should definitely see a lot of Reed. He came onto the scene last year. I was hoping for a little more production, a little more playing time for him this year because obviously, Vaughn went down. You should see a lot of Reed. Just making sure I'm looking here, make sure I don't forget any names. But, yeah, Tachu's out again. I mean, it's incredible. They've lost more money, or more of their money is on IR than any other team in the league. And, look, no one's feeling sorry for them. San Fran's beat up. Dallas is beat up. Everyone's beat up. Saquon Barkley's out. So it is what it is. But, yeah, the hits keep coming here in Denver.
Yeah, it is amazing the amount of injuries they've had. And just throwing Jarrell Casey onto that pile is pretty amazing. Like you said, the amount of salary
and
on
Elijah
the IR.
Wilkinson. And Wilkinson starting right tackle's
out. So we're talking backup right tackle to a situation that wasn't a good tackle situation to begin with. It's not like the Jets major league bring the hit, but it's Quinnen Williams' night to shine. That's absolutely true. Can we turn our attention to your boys?
Let's do it, man.
What are you seeing out of Dak the first 3 weeks? He's leading the league in passing yards. What are you seeing as far as his chemistry with the receivers and how this receiving group is fitting together?
Yeah, I think it's coming together nicely. I mean, look, I don't need to tell you no preseason games, with CeeDee Lamb in there, really no practice. It's just unlike any other offseason, right? I think it's coming along. I think Dak, I love Dak. I'm not saying he's Peyton Manning. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. I think he's in the tier below that. I think he's a winner. I think he's out to prove a lot this year. He's playing for a contract. He's playing for his brother, whom he loved very much, who we just found out a couple of weeks ago took his own life.
Yeah.
And, just talked to him the day before. I love Dak. Going to the Rams and losing on the final play of the game, going to Seattle and Russell Wilson's backyard and losing on the last play of the game, that's nothing to be ashamed of. I think he's a tremendous quarterback, a tremendous leader. I absolutely think he'll win a Super Bowl at some point. But, they lead the league in yardage. They're up there in points scored. It's only going to get better. They don't have either their right tackles or right tackle, left tackle. They don't have their starting tight end, and it's still coming along pretty good. So I think this offense will be there all year. It's the defense I'm really worried about.
How is CD Lamb adjusting to the role in the slot? Because I had somebody tweet me this a few minutes ago if I could ask about CD Lamb if I ever get a Dallas guy on.
Yeah. He's coming along nicely. It's just a case, and you and I have talked about this. There are not as many footballs to go around. You got Amari Cooper. You got Michael Gallup. You've got Zeke Elliott, who needs his touches running and receiving. But C.D. Lamb, man, watch him Sunday against a very interesting Cleveland Browns matchup. He runs beautiful
yes.
routes. It's like he floats out there. He's like a deer. And when he catches the ball, he's great after the catch. We knew that at Oklahoma. This guy's going to be wearing number 88 for a long time.
Yeah, no. I mean, we saw at Oklahoma just that one play against Texas where he had five guys around him, and he was in the end zone, and they were chasing. So his
yeah.
elusiveness and just yak ability is off the charts. Am
Absolutely.
I wrong to say that I personally think Michael Gallup is better than Amari Cooper?
That's like week to week, man. Cooper still runs beautiful routes. You saw him with that one-handed catch at Seattle last week. He's arguably the best route runner in the league. I know Denver fans are saying, Jerry Jeudy, let's relax. It's three games. Amari Cooper
yep.
just runs beautiful routes. He's like Baryshnikov on the sidelines. He made that one-handed catch from Dak. Man, it's week to week. You want a BMW or do you want a Mercedes-Benz? You tell me.
Yeah. Whichever one will fit in my driveway. I'll take either one. God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are cars I don't refer to. I paid off my Chevy today. So this is what I'm driving. Those type of cars are out of my range, to tell you the truth, my brother. But
that's okay.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with a Chevy.
No, nothing wrong with a Chevy. I'm just teasing. I can't afford those high profile, you know, as I get into my middle ages here, something to enhance myself. what is the loss of Leighton Vander Esch meant? I know you still have Jalen Smith there, but you don't have Lee, you don't have Vander Esch. How are they covering that up?
Not very well. It's a tremendous loss, man. I think he, you know, he's the best defensive player. Some people will say DeMarcus Lawrence. I think pound for pound, play in, play out, game in, game out, Leighton Vander Esch, you know, the tackling Dutchman or whatever they call him. His rookie year, he was like second in the league in tackles. He's a tremendous athlete.
Yep.
Dallas is very, very poor against the run. And that's one. He cannot come back soon enough. That is a huge blow, but it'd probably be around week 5 or 6, maybe 7 at the latest. You know my theory, get him 105% healthy and don't rush them back and you know, endanger them to hurt themselves worse or re-injure themselves. Take your time. And Dallas just has to, you know, try and play 400 or 500 ball and then make a run the second half of the year. But you know that, you know what we talked about the other day. Dallas could go 8-8 and win the NFC East by 2 games.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. I'm looking at the division, and really the Eagles at 0-2-1 until they lose these next 2 games will be out of it. But we're
yeah.
talking about a fire sale with the Eagles. When we look at the Eagles, they're going to be $75 or more million over the cap. Carson Wentz
wow.
costs you $59.2 million in dead money next year.
Wow.
Dallas Goedert is hurt, so Zach Ertz is on the field, and do you trade Ertz to start freeing up some of that money? I personally, I'm going to throw a name out there. I talked to somebody in the know in Philadelphia. The first guy who may be out of there is Fletcher Cox. How do you feel about that?
I would love to see Fletcher Cox out of there. Just don't put him in the Redskins or the Giants, although I don't think that would be enough to make them formidable. Although if he goes to the Redskins, my God, it's just you couldn't do anything against them. But yeah, Fletcher Cox has been a nightmare for offenses for it feels like decades. He is a quality player. I wish him nothing but the best as a person. I would love to see him out of an Eagles uniform.
Yeah, no, that's a good ground source I have saying he could be the first
yep.
one. It would have been Ertz if it weren't for the Goddard injury. And they really got to flip the roster like the Vikings did and get a lot of rookie contracts on the book, even if it means, you know, you start out 0-3 the next year and you start building. That's the reality of the cap. The other team that's going to be like that is the Saints. This is probably Drew Brees' last year, but do you look at Drew Brees and think something's wrong with that shoulder?
It just looks a little... yes, to answer your question, yes, it just looks like there's a little zip off his fastball. Look, we've seen this with quarterbacks before, right, man? When it happens, it happens. It can happen dramatically, like it did with Peyton Manning and Eli. When the fastball goes, it goes. I have so much respect for this guy, Drew Brees, as a player, and even more so as a person. I want to enjoy him for the rest of the year and somewhere next year. But Father Time's undefeated, right, man? Jerry West said it, Father Time's undefeated. But, yeah, something looks a little off in his game.
Yeah, I look at – there's another team that they're signing the contracts now because they're going to be well over, and I look at guys like Cameron Jordan becoming available. There's going to be – this next year's free agency, start of day one of the new league, is going to be so interesting because if the salary cap drops by $23 million, how that's going to change a lot of franchises who planned for the $198 million. So, Buddy Andrade's E2G Sports Show. I got David Hurlbut on the line, my good friend, Mile High Sports Radio. You can listen to him out there on the Mile High Sports app, which I have. And you actually get to watch him in studio and see which of his hats he's wearing that week. I don't think I've ever seen you not wear a hat. Do you always have a hat on?
No. I usually do a lot of my Masters hats, Cowboys. Today I went with a John Deere hat. I was feeling very blue collar, so I had a John Deere hat on.
Yeah,
no, and I'm doing pretty well in the hair department for 48, but I just kind of wake up at the last minute, splash the water on my face, head into the studio, and, yeah, I like wearing the hats.
Oh, it's so funny. I just got a text. I think both of us are doing it. We're still calling Washington the Redskins. That's funny. Washington
Dude,
football team.
I still call I still call the Chargers San Diego Chargers. So I will call them the Redskins Fly Bears this year. Yeah.
Same here. San Diego Chargers forever. Those powder blue.
Yeah.
And the thing I miss most is the song. That song.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
I mean, we played them a lot
Absolutely.
In the playoffs. And I had to, and we'd play it here, you know, jokingly to mock them. But I was like, that San Diego Superchargers song? Like, it might be on my playlist. Maybe. Just, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. It might be. You know, just being honest.
Absolutely.
So I look at a guy. Let's talk about you personally. Jersey, you're in Denver now. You did some time in California, right, with movies and other things?
Yeah, I acted. I was in La La Land for 11 years. Acted, had a few 15 minutes of fame here and there. But, yeah, now I'm Denver the last 4 or 5 years.
That's incredible. So La La Land, I'm going to have to go back and look at this. It's funny. My other host, my host of the Sunday show, John Ahern, his brother Tim Ahern is a big actor over in Europe, and he listens to us. He might be listening right now, as a matter of fact. It was just crazy to pull him up on, like, Netflix and think, holy crap, that's my friend's brother. You know, something like that. So who was the best person on La La Land that you worked with?
Oh, gosh. You know,
if you
want to
name a
nicest,
few, you can. You don't have to pigeonhole it.
No, the nicest actor or celebrity I ever met, I didn't work with him. But he was an absolute gentleman, a class act, and always I could bounce advice off him and stuff, was Kelsey Grammer. Frasier
that sounds
Crane.
Accurate. Frasier.
No, he's a humble guy. He's a humble guy. He's had a lot of tragedy in his life. You know, he's fought alcoholism off and on. I think his sister was raped and murdered. And I don't mean to bring that up on your show. His mother or someone took
her
own life in his family. He's had a very, very rough life, but he was such a class act and a gentleman to me. It was wonderful.
I know I haven't made it big until I get on his show in Seattle. I know that's when, you know, that's a fictitious goal of my life now. Thanks for putting that out there. Give me something to think about. So just give us a little feel. We got 10 minutes left. The Denver sports fan from an outsider, what was your view before you got there, and what's your view now?
My view growing up, I didn't see the Broncos obviously in the 60s when they were starting out. I always viewed the Broncos as a quality, top-notch organization. You know, watching John Elway from a distance, in awe of what he did. I get to work with and deal with Mark Jackson very often at Mile High Sports. One of the three amigos. Of course, I remember when Dallas was sort of passing the torch to the Broncos in the 90s and turning the reins over to the Broncos with Elway and, of course, Shannon Sharp and Terrell Davis and the defense. Mike Shanahan, that was an awesome, awesome team. So to see what they're going through now, buddy, is very odd. This is not, you know, the Bengals or the Browns or teams that are always stuck in mediocrity or below. This is the Denver Broncos, 25-year waiting list, for season tickets. All these Hall of Famers, Peyton Manning coming here, DeMarcus Ware, the no-fly zone. If they lose this game tonight, and I think there's a very good chance, why not? The home Thursday night teams often win. If they lose tonight and then face your Patriots next week or their next game, they could be 0-5, the first Broncos team to do that since the 60s. It's very, Elway's coming under fire. This is arguably the most famous celebrity in the history of Colorado, John Elway. And he's coming under fire. The ownership is a mess. It's a territory, a time that Bronco fans, Broncos country, they're not familiar with.
Yeah, no, it's one of my future road trips. I'm definitely going to get out there now that I have my friend out there to go visit. Really looking forward to it. But rank the other three teams for me. Avs, Nuggets, Rockies. What is order of preference of people?
It's Broncos 1-8. Then,
yes, I knew that much.
Yeah. I would say Rockies, Nuggets, Avs. The Avs fan base is very passionate, but just hockey is the least popular of the four, but it's a very passionate fan base. I think the town would go crazy if the Rockies won a World Series. And the Nuggets are really picking up momentum. This was a great postseason run for them. The average age of their starters is like 24. Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, MPJ, Michael Porter Jr. I don't even think he can go and grab a Coors Light yet. Their core is very young. They pushed the Lakers in a few games there. Coors Field, buddy, if you ever come out here, Coors Field is a great venue. By far the best sports venue in town. So they love the Rockies, but they disappoint every year. They were 11-3 to start this shortened season, buddy, and they finished like 8 games below 500. Every year they break the fans' hearts, but they would go berserk if the Rockies won a World Series.
Yeah, I remember the 2007. They had the series against us, and they came in. They had won like 22 out of 23 or something ridiculous like that. They came in hot as a pistol, but I think that week off killed them. I think they won too quickly, and that's what really hurt them in that World Series. Not just a little bit in the talent department, but that really killed them. That was their opportunity. So, all right, so I got to pray for a Patriots September game or a Chiefs September game next year with fans in the seat, with Coors Field open. And my daughter will be a senior, and I think I've told you already, it's Patriots and Patrick Mahomes. We are going to have a fun Sunday on the Andre couch this week.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's in KC, right?
Yeah, it's in Kansas City. The AFC Championship game was there, and the two regular season games have been in Foxborough. And the Patriots have won 2 out of 3, but I'll be honest, I think it's going to be 2 out of 4. I just think Patrick Mahomes is that good. And can we put the Broncos in for a tank for Trevor if things get to a certain point?
Yeah, thank you. Look, man, unless you're a Broncos fan or a Jets fan, you might not be watching the game tonight, but I'm very interested in this game. Look, two bad teams can make for a dramatic game, right? This could be a 13-10 dramatic game. I don't know what's going to happen with Adam Gase tomorrow if they lose. I've heard different reports. I think Vic Fangio is fine. We could talk about his career down the line. If he goes 4-12, that's a discussion. Tank for Trevor, I think it's alive, man. I think it's alive and well.
Yeah, because I'll tell you something. You put him there with all the weapons that are already there, young core.
Yeah.
You got to do that because you got to look across the division and realize that team in Kansas City, they've signed all these guys. They're going to be there a while. They've got some talent, and they've got some rookies who are starting to play, so they're building something serious. So to compete with that, you got to be in that realm. And I really feel Trevor Lawrence gives you another generational quarterback who can actually go against Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely. The Raiders are building something. You don't think free agents are going to go play with John Gruden in that new beautiful stadium in Vegas? So the Raiders are building something. You've got to have a quarterback, like you said, a young stud, maybe the biggest prospect since Andrew Luck, to go against Patrick Mahomes for the next 12 years, because Mahomes isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, this kid Lawrence, I know you've seen him, and just to the listeners out there on Buddy Andrew's E2G Sports Show, this kid Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. He's unbelievable. And I mean, even, he tasted it really
his favor?
You know, he it's one of those things I just watch, and there's people like, I saw a mock draft had him going 5 the other day, and I'm like, unless it's Cincinnati picking first and they have Joe Burrow and he's almost an equal, maybe he'll go second. But I think there's teams that would move their young quarterbacks just before their rookie contract, a.k.a. the Jets, would move Sam Darnold to get some capital back and draft Trevor Lawrence if they were to lose tonight and continue on the scene, on the skid that they're on of many years, but this year being the one to have the golden egg at the end.
Absolutely. Look, we saw Arizona do that with Josh Rosen to Kyler Murray. It looks like that's the right plan so far. But can the Broncos just do one thing for me? Can they address this offensive line, whomever's the quarterback next year, please? It doesn't matter. We're on a third quarterback. Just please, build from the line of scrimmage out.
Yeah, well, I'll just before we wrap it up, I'll give you a name. Penei Sewell, offensive lineman, Oregon. Kind of a smaller tackle, like 6'5". He'd be an absolutely dominant guard, but a lot of people are saying he'll have no problem moving. If the Broncos are in the top 5, that should be their pick next year. I mean,
absolutely.
Now you're protecting Locke, and you have the weapons, and you're giving these guys more time. David Hurlbut, I almost said from Empire Sports Network, that's where Brandon Carpenter was from. Mile High Sports, get the Mile High Sports app. Listen to David every day, 8 to 9 their time, 10 to 11 Eastern time. I go on with him on Wednesdays, 10:30, sometimes to 11, sometimes to 10:45. But this guy has become one of my favorite people to talk to. David, thanks for joining the Buddy Andrew at E2G Sports Show. Add Hurlbut Huddle on Twitter, and give this guy a follow and listen. And watch some La La Land, see if you can pick up where he is in the video.
Brother, always a pleasure. Real quick, Browns or Cowboys in Dallas?
I'm going to go Cowboys, but I think the Browns are going to give them a run. If Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward are there, healthy, and that secondary's there, I think it'll be closer than people think it'll be.
No, I totally agree. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thanks, my friend, for coming on. We're wrapping up the last minute and a half here. Buddy Andre, E2G Sports Show, tomorrow. You must listen. Craig Renfro from Tailgater Magazine. You want to learn how to cook, you want to barbecue, you want to throw a party, you want to know what beverage to pair your food with, everything. This guy is the tailgate god, and I was able to book him for tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll take calls. It'll also be available on demand after the show is over as we wrap up the last minute here. Again, tomorrow, 516-387-1702. You can talk to Craig Renfro himself. They've got over 11,500 followers on Twitter. The magazine's a great success. It's a digital magazine you can download and read. They do a great job. They get out there. And hopefully I can invite him to our Buffalo trip next year and maybe get us in Tailgater Monthly. That's my secret to all my friends out there. I know. Thanks for Kim and Kim up in Canada, my Canadian wife, for texting me and let me know that we were saying Washington Redskins. Thank you very much. Washington football team. I got to get through that through my head, but I still haven't found out that the Chargers aren't in San Diego anymore. That powder blue, you know I love it. Buddy Andrade's E2G Sports Show. Thanks for listening on a Thursday. We'll catch you tomorrow at noon with Craig Renfro. Have a great day.